How are y'all doing today? The rest of you doing all right as well? I appreciate you talking to me, Pastor Doc. I really do. So good to see you. Well, today I want to talk about a house of peace. We're continuing our series, Family Foundations, and this is where we find ourselves this morning. And here's the statement. Let me just declare this over you. You can see it on the screen. An anointed atmosphere in our homes enables spiritual growth and breakthrough in our families. You know, you want home to be that place. You're looking forward to get there. Take your shoes off. Settle down. Enjoy peace. Being with people you love. Matter of fact, one of the things that really causes joy in my heart and Mickey's heart and our leaders here is when we have people come for the first time and they share with us, well, when we walked into the building, we just sensed such peace. We just really sensed God's love. And while we always want that to be the case, but we also want that to be the case in our own homes, right? You know, sometimes there's people, they don't look forward to going home because there's not peace in the home. You know, they'll even think of other things they can go do rather than going home. And there's some people at home that they're thinking, this is sure nice, but it won't be when he gets here or when she gets here. A house of peace is so much more important than we realize. Just like a hen's nest is the brooding place for the growth and development of the birth of those chicks and so forth, a home is the atmosphere, the climate that enables our children to grow up and be godly adults. Lovers of Jesus, shining lights in this dark world, or it can be the place where they're wounded, filled with fear, anger, and so forth. I'm just saying that the home, the man's castle, the woman's fortress, the home is vitally important to the welfare, well-being of our families, and particularly when we're talking about our relationship with God, our homes need also to reflect the atmosphere of heaven itself. And we're going to see that this morning because I have four questions I'm going to be sharing with you. And those four questions, hopefully, we can use those to guide us through some important principles and truths and hopefully offer some practical suggestions so that when we leave this place this morning, we'll head home better equipped and armed to have houses of peace. Now, here's a scripture that we want to step up on to launch into these truths. We find it in Luke chapter 10. It's the occasion where Jesus actually is sending out, in addition to those 12 he sent out, he sends out 70 more disciples. And he forewarns them. He says, you're going out like sheep among wolves. That'll crank his tractor, won't it? In other words, it's going to be hard out there. Not everybody's going to be in agreement with you. Not everybody's going to want to hear what I've told you to say or want to see what I've told you to demonstrate. And he's preparing them for that. But then he gives them some strategy of what they need to do when they go into a new village or town. He gives them a strategy, and it's one that is filled with revelation for us concerning how Jesus saw things. It also helps us in, when it comes to things of like how a prayer, spiritual warfare, mapping, those kind of things. But today we're talking about houses of peace. We're going to relate it to that. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells those 70, he says, but whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Now that was more than just a commonplace greeting. He's teaching them that what you begin saying in the atmosphere you step into is important. He said, peace to this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. It's intriguing how he states that, isn't it? But the simple implication is this. You go, you enter that door, that house, and you speak peace. If it's received, you're at the right place. If it's not, you'll know it. It'll return to you. It's interesting. He didn't say, now I want you to go in the village. You find the wealthiest person. You find the nicest house. Ask around who's the best cooks, and you stay there. We might do those things going on a vacation. But on a kingdom assignment, he said, you need to find the house of peace. You need to find the house of peace. Jesus is teaching us here that it's important that we gravitate toward where what we carry is received. That needs to be your base in that village. Why? Because when you step out into the rest of that village, there's going to be enough warfare. There's going to be plenty of battles you're going to have to deal with. But the place where you eat and you rest and you fellowship, it needs to be a place where you're received. That just makes sense, doesn't it? So, that's important. Well, if the place where we eat and rest and fellowship and are with people that love and accept us is our house, our home, and it is, then that also ought to be a house of peace where the Lord is honored and His peace is prevalent. The house of peace. That's my desire for my house and all the families and houses represented here this morning, that when you go home today, you'll be able to step into a house of peace. And if it wasn't when you left, that you'll step into it carrying peace and begin to see things shift and align with God's best for you and your family. Our home doesn't need to be a place of chaos and conflict. Now, even among good marriages, there might be the occasional spat. You don't have to amen, Mickey, they know it. But it's just the truth. But don't we want our homes to be a place where you can rest, relax, be rejuvenated, have God's peace and His presence, have love? And if you're in a situation where that's just not the case this morning, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would encourage you. Because Paul says we're to live at peace with all men as much as lies within us. And I realize some of you may be in circumstances where that's what you want and that's what you're trying to do and that's what you're praying for. Don't stop. Don't give up. You be faithful to that. God is the changer of hearts. And my prayer is that you'd be encouraged today. Because the enemy is constantly trying to draw you into his way of war. He wants you to mirror him. But we're to be formed in the image of Christ. And this will be clear as we proceed. So, four questions. Let's go ahead and just leap right into the first one. The first question is this. Which prince rules the atmosphere in your house? Let's look at the scripture first, John 14. By the way, this scripture records what Jesus, these last-minute instructions he's giving his disciples before he's crucified. I mean, he's coaching them up because he's about to head off. And he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Notice that he said, my peace. He is full of it. He is peace. He stood up in a boat, spoke to an angry storm, angry waves, peace. And everything around him became still. And now he tells his disciples, because they're in the middle of a lot of tumult and turmoil. He's about to be arrested. He's told them, I'm going to be crucified. I'm leaving. I'm going to die. But I'm going to be raised from the dead. But I'm going to leave and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. They're not putting all those pieces of the puzzle together correctly yet. It's a high, intense moment of crisis for them. And he says, the peace that I have, I'm leaving that with you. You will continue to have my peace. Now notice how he contrasts here. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Notice, he contrasts what he carries with what the world wants to fill people with. The result of aligning and being filled with what the world carries, fear, anxiety, trouble, storm brewing internally all the time, all around you, chaos and conflict. Turn on the news. It won't take you but 2 minutes to realize, man, this world is a mess. But in the middle of that, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In New Testament terms, there are at least two princes the New Testament talks about. One is the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, of this age, little g there. And that's a reference to our enemy, our nemesis, Satan, the devil, the accuser, the slanderer. Prince of the power of what? Of the air, the atmosphere. So much takes place in that second heaven atmosphere. That when Daniel prayed and he was fasting and Michael the archangel was bringing the answer, he was confronted by the prince of Persia. That is a reference to the territorial spirits over the area that the angels of God were warring against the demonic forces. And that Daniel kept praying, Daniel kept fasting, and he got his breakthrough and his answer came. And he got tremendous revelation about the future. Sometimes the revelation that you're needing for the war that you're in right now is not making its way to you because there's not sufficient prayer, even fasting, or spiritual warfare taking place. And it's that same warfare the prince of the power of the air is using to seduce, brainwash. Paul is, he so wades into this in Romans 1 and 2 when he talks about the condition of the world, about men's foolish minds becoming darkened, about people beginning to celebrate the things that the Bible says are abominable. They not only think it's all right to do them, but they celebrate the doing of those things. And that's the condition of the world. Was then, is now. It is now. And the prince of the power of the air is schooling. He has professors in all, not just educational places, but people professing the lies of the enemy, aligning and believing the lies of the enemy. And I won't go through the list. You know a lot of them. Identity issues where people don't even know their own biological sex or deny it. Just stuff like that. That's messed up. Prince of the power of the air. Now, here's an illustration of the fact that in the invisible realm that surrounds us right now, there are all kinds of voices being released. As a matter of fact, I can take this little gadget called my smartphone. I can type in a prompt, and I can immediately make my selection of different voices, different messages, different news from nations around this planet. Just snatches them right out of the air and then translates them so I can hear them. Isn't that amazing? It really is. But man, how people are being seduced. How people are being brainwashed. Now thank God there's a lot of good stuff here too. This thing is not necessarily evil, but it can be used for evil and it can be used for good. You can call someone and pray for them. That's a good thing. You can call someone and curse them out. Not so good. It's a choice that people make. But the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, is working. So the question is, which prince rules the atmosphere in your house? Is your home being influenced by the world, the prince of the power of the air, or is your atmosphere being influenced by the word, the prince of peace, which is Jesus Christ? Because see, biblically, I got to finish this one up. I want to move on. But biblically, the Bible says Jesus has now ascended. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly places. Paul in the book of Ephesians says, you believer, you men and women, believers, you and I, we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Well, that doesn't make sense. I'm seated right here in this church building. Well, you are physically, but spiritually, positionally, you are in union with Christ who is seated at the right hand of God the Father. God says your life is now hidden with Christ in Him. So there is a spiritual union, just like all these messages are in the invisible realm, and we can snatch them and translate them. Our position in the spiritual realm, in the unseen realm, is that we are with Christ, so we can get orders from headquarters. Well, when we do that, how do we do it? Through the Word of God, reading the Word, through the Spirit of God, who's the author of the Word, the translator of the Word, the one who imparts that truth to us as we open our hearts in faith to believe it and receive it and act on it, then we begin to change. And what begins to change? Well, our minds become renewed. And then all of a sudden, here's what begins to happen in your heart. And if it begins to happen in your heart, then it can begin to manifest in your home so that your home begins to have the climate of heaven operating. Because your mind gets renewed, your heart gets in a line, and now you're thinking God's thoughts. You're being led by the Holy Spirit. And what's God's house like? Well, it's the throne room of grace and mercy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. The fruit of the Spirit fills the house of the Father. So as we get in the Word and the Spirit, in the spirit realm, in the visible realm, then our spirit man feeds on that, and our soulish man, our mind, emotions, will, imagination, all that begins to be renewed, made alive to God, so that it is now all connecting, lining up, and processing things from a heavenly perspective. Now, we begin to manifest the climate of heaven in our decisions, the climate of the throne room in our families and in our homes. It really boils down to prince of this world or the prince of peace. One of those two is influenced the climate in our homes, the atmosphere of our homes. And I decree and declare that we increasingly will begin to experience houses of peace, where the peace of God and the fruit of the Spirit and the manifestation of heaven finds receptivity, acceptance, and faith in our homes. And that's what's behind kingdom of God. Come. Will of God. Be done. Those are declarations of alignment. Those are thoughts birthed out of the atmosphere of heaven to influence what's going on down here in earth. Jesus said He lived this way. Everything I do, only do what I see the Father doing. Out of that union in the heavenly places, He made His decisions and He got His guidance so that He manifested the will of God on earth. It originated there. It manifests here through the heart and mind that are in a line with what's happening there. And it's spoken out our mouth. Now, as I'm sharing this, I'm reminded of Corrie Ten Boom. I shared a few months ago about Corrie Ten Boom, World War II. She and her sister were in a concentration camp. Her other family, they were killed. They died there. And they were in barracks, I think, number 28 in Ravensbrück, where one of those camps were. And it was infested with fleas. I shared that story with you. So infested with fleas, they begin to praise the Lord for the fleas. That doesn't make sense, but you know why they did that? Because there were so many fleas in that barracks, the guards never came in there. And since the guards didn't come in there, they could have prayer meeting. They could study the Scripture. They could experience heaven in that room because of God's presence as they got in the Word and they prayed. The rest of that story is how she shared, it became a place of peace for us. Isn't that something? In the middle of the war that was raging, World War II, In that same camp, outside the barracks, the ovens were burning and people were being fed to the fire. But in that room, God had created an atmosphere where those people in their emaciated bodies and dealing with fleas and dealing with disease, in the middle of that horror, they found some peace in the middle of their storm. And that's a radical illustration. But if it worked there, you know it'll work for you in the middle of the storm you're in. Your house can be that place when you leave that job and you're persecuted and you're not really doing what you'd like to do, but you know that God has you there. When you get home, you can be at the place where you can get renewed and you can have peace. And you want that in your marriage, where you're excited when you see your spouse coming in. You hear their car. You hear the door open. You're not like, oh me. Here we go again. Seriously, the Lord wants our atmospheres to reflect heaven. Men, love your wives the way they should be loved. It usually does not include stomping, screaming, cursing, yelling, and God forbid, striking. You are failing to live up to God's standard for you in the home. Well, if I had a better wife, I could be a better husband. Well, if she had a better husband, she'd probably be a better wife. In the same way, ladies, be the woman of God. Sometimes it's not a sermon that's needed. It may be some respect. And we can play that tennis game back and forth of what men should do, what women should do. But the goal is to have a house of peace. A house of peace. Look at this statement. Peace is not the absence of noise. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're like, well, our house is quiet. But what you don't know is they hadn't spoken to each other in 5 months. It's not just quiet. It's peace. And only Jesus can give the kind of peace I'm talking about this morning. It's not just the absence of noise. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Question number two. Whose tongue sets the thermostat in your house? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. The words you speak paint a picture of the condition of your heart. The thermostats over there on the wall, they can be adjusted so that the atmosphere in this room continues to change until it aligns with what that is said on the thermostat. You will either be a thermostat in your house, or you'll be a thermometer. Not only in your house, but everywhere you go. You're going to be a thermostat or a thermometer. A thermometer just registers the temperature of the room. Hot, cold, up, down. And you might be that way emotionally, up and down, hot and cold. Just adjusting. A chameleon lifestyle, you just adjust to the atmosphere you're in. If they're living it up in sin, I'll live it up in sin. If they're being goody two shoes, I'll try to do that. No. You're just being a thermometer, adjusting to the world around you. The thermostat sets the temperature. And that's what Jesus said. When you go into a house, peace to this house. And if it's not a place that adjusts to that, you're in the wrong place. That's not where you want your base of operation to be. Whose tongue sets the thermostat in your house? I love this Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger or stirs up strife. Let me give you a little practical tip. You need to practice, pause, and pray when you feel anger starting to rise up and you're about to say something. You and I both know, and you and I probably have all experienced times
when we flunk this test. It's usually preceded by, I probably shouldn't say this. And right there, it'd be really smart just to kind of listen to your own preaching. Right? Aren't we a mess without Jesus? Pause and pray. When you feel that coming up and you're grabbing that ammo and you're about to... Lord, I'm really about to say something that's going to mess stuff up. Holy Spirit, what you're carrying is something I'm needing right now. I need help. Help me know what to say. You'll be amazed in 10 seconds how the atmosphere in your brain can change inside of you because you are acknowledging God in your moment of anger. Lord, I'm sensing this anger. I know this can become a billy club, and I don't need to do that. Help me. We have the power to de-escalate things as Christians. Because we'll either be people who live like mirrors, reflecting what we're seeing and what we're hearing, or we can be people who are like sponges, that we may be hearing and seeing one thing, but once it lands on us, what comes out can be different. That's the reason Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Now the world would say, you curse me, I'm cursing you. You're going to get the same thing you bring into my doorstep right back at you. But Jesus said, no, we're different. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those who mistreat you. You keep your heart clear. You keep the living room of your life clean. Don't trash it by allowing the flesh to have the dance floor to do its jig and create chaos. It takes more strength and power and character to try to respond in a godly manner than it does in an ungodly manner. Any old carnal Christian can curse someone out, slug somebody upside the head. I'm not saying don't use self-defense. That can be another message when you might need to just haul off and let them have it. But that, I'm not talking about that right now. You want to protect your family. That's all I got to say about that. I'm talking about your tongue and misusing it inappropriately. You can release hell instead of heaven. And that's right out of the Bible. James said the tongue can be set on fire by hell itself. So whose tongue sets the thermostat in your house? Practice that pause and pray. You know, when Lincoln was president during the Civil War, he had a Secretary of War, Edward Stanton. And his Secretary of War gave him grief constantly. Called him an imbecile publicly. Mocked him publicly. You know, it's just bad. And Lincoln's advisor said, you've got to stand up and fight this guy. You can't just let him say that and go uncontested. Lincoln was always kind, courteous. He just went about his business presidentially, made the decision that needed to be made. He did what he thought it was right. But over a course of time, the heart of Stanton began to change. And the night that President Lincoln was shot in the head by John Wilkes Booth and carried to a nearby home, he laid there. Stanton was at his bedside. And when Lincoln died, tears were streaming down Edward Stanton's face and said, this man belongs to the ages. That man's godly character won over his enemy. A harsh word creates anger and strife, but a soft answer turns away wrath. Sometimes a fight can stop right there if you just won't verbally engage in it. You can de-escalate things. Look at this picture here. A little cartoon. Look at those two little kids. What's that doing to them? What are they learning? If you really want something, you've got to scream louder. You've got to out-yell the person. They learn all kind of words, all kind of phrases, all kind of fleshly antics. Spirit-led de-escalation is a spiritual weapon. And if we're going to have a house of peace, we've got to learn how to do that. Because our flesh, I don't think I've said this in a while, but it needs re-saying. Your saved flesh is not a bit more dependable than your lost flesh was. You got to live by the Spirit man. Write this down, 1 John 5, 18-19. Read that. Meditate on that this week. You'll find there that John writes these words. He says, "He that is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one cannot touch him." Don't you empower the devil more than the Word of God says he is. He who is born again keeps himself. In other words, guards himself, keeps himself out of your spirit man. Because the early part of that verse says, who's born of God does not sin. It's your spirit man that's been born again inside of you. And when you follow him and let him lead, your mind is renewed and you begin to change. And out of your spirit man, knowing who you really are, and keeping your focus on that, operating out of the heavenly places, out of control center, the Holy Spirit who's in the midst of your being, out of that place, the wicked one cannot touch you. The wicked one cannot touch you. You do not have to fear him. We talked about this last time, the power of the blood. But in our homes sometimes, in our verbal exchanges, or we get upset at one another. Well, I told you to do this, you didn't, or you forgot this, and you just same old thing, you're just like your daddy. No, you're just like your mama, and boom, 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 next thing you know, it's just... But in your spirit, you have the capacity. The Prince of Peace lives in you. You're grounded in heavenly places, in the throne room of grace. Grace can come. Peace can come. Joy can come. Love can come. No law against you living that way. Spirit-led de-escalation is a spiritual weapon. Third question, moving right along here. When is disorder disturbing peace in your house? Up to this point, I've talked primarily about the condition internally. And how what we say can impact where we live. This is more practical here. When you think of your house, your marriage, your family, your relationship with your children and so forth, when does it seem that peace is being disturbed in your home? When are you noticing its absence? And I want to give you a couple of practical things to think about here. And the scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, is referencing the house of God, the saints of God. And by the way, you and I, we are now the dwelling place of God inside us. This building is where we all meet. But notice what Paul says about corporate gatherings. He says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." This is in a passage where Paul is basically saying there's a framework you need to have in mind for all the gifts to flourish and function and for things to function in the church so that things can be done decently and in order and there can be peace. If it's not that, then there's confusion. People don't understand. They get confused. And in our homes, it's the same way. There's a framework. Some suggestions. Well, let me just put a little cartoon on there and see if you can see something that might be going on there. It is funny, but it is so. Guilty? Here's, Here's a little practical rule. No tech at the table. May we all do better at this. We've had to do that sometimes. I think there's been a few times we got a basket and everybody just put their phone in it. But we could do better at that, all of us. No tech at the table. You know, when you maybe your family needs to eat together at a table, like your whole family, and you can actually look at each other and actually talk to one another. What'd you say, hon? Wait a minute. I'm upset. You can't believe what somebody just put on Facebook. And then they start sharing it and release it into the house. How long has it been since you got angry about something you read on a social media platform? Some of you probably done that since you've been here. I mean, we're a bunch. Folks are. I mean, we want to spend all our time connecting with these people we've never met. And this can be used for good. I did a devotional before I left the house this morning. 17 degrees. It was cold out there. Because people are watching it and receiving it. But man, there's a lot of stuff out there that's like red X. No tech at the table. Maybe you want to institute it at your house. We're going to actually talk to each other at the table. Leave your phone somewhere else and connect with somebody you actually know instead of getting stirred up by people you don't even know. Let me give you another one. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude in your home. Show gratitude. Give gratitude. Thanks, sweetheart. That was an awesome meal. Well, I appreciate you grilling those steaks for me, sweetie. Thank one another. And receive gratitude. I mean, when somebody realizes they're telling you they appreciate you, let that find a landing place. And our children need to grow up where they're observing gratitude. Teach them some manners. Man, we got a hard ear yank. You know what I mean? When I was growing up, if we didn't say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, please, and thank you, I know that might be new words to some folks. That's called manners. Teach your children to have good manners. To express appreciation. So cultivate an attitude of gratitude. You know that scientifically it's been proven when people are shown appreciation or they give appreciation, the oxytocin and serotonin levels in your brains, they're just releasing that stuff. And you have a sense of well-being that comes over you. God made our bodies to respond to that atmosphere because he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, thank the Lord, all you people. When we're doing that, even physiologically and neurologically, stuff's happening that you can't see. It's good. Haven't you noticed how all those pistons start firing when somebody lets you have it and makes you mad? Think the reverse of that. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And lastly, cultivate an atmosphere of forgiveness. Those times when you do say that thing, you said I shouldn't say it, but you said it. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I said that in anger, and I was wrong. And I treasure you, and I'm so sorry that I misspoke that way. Would you please forgive me? That requires some humility. And I know it's hard. You actually have to admit you were wrong. But sometimes those new experiences can be very fruitful. I'm serious. Every good marriage is made up of two good forgivers. And if you can't handle that forgiveness thing, you may be in a house of folks, but you're going to live alone and miserable. Because you're going to be bitter and grumpy and so forth. Be like that woman that went to the doctor. And the doctor said, you know, because she was kind of short-tempered with him. He said, "Ma'am, did you wake up grumpy this morning?" She said, "No, I just let him sleep." Some people have that kind of attitude. Learn to forgive. Have an atmosphere of gratitude, an atmosphere of forgiveness, and so forth. Last thing. You must partner with the Holy Spirit to remove the barriers that hinder peace. And the last question. You will be a distributor of peace. I may have misspelled distributor. Should I have an O there, Mickey, instead of an E? Did I misspell that? Don't Google it. I don't care. Will you be a distributor of peace in your house? Will you? It's a question. Will you? Somebody needs to step out there. No, I'm going to be a peacemaker, like the Scripture says in Matthew 15:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You want to be somebody that other people say, that person's part of God's family right there. Wow, that's a lot like Jesus right there. Being a peacemaker. If you had to answer the question, when I walk into the room, what happens to the atmosphere? We want to be people who are doing our best to listen to the Holy Spirit and manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Being distributors of peace. You're going to be giving away something all the time. Your life is an influence everywhere you go. You're leaving some type of mark. You're branding things by the way you respond, the way you talk, the way you behave, the way you live. Are you being a person that the atmosphere is being impacted by the peace of God? And it's impossible for you to do that if you don't have peace with God. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The way you have peace with God is through placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Why should you place your faith in Him? Because it was He who died on the cross and bore your sins. And it was He who lived a sinless life. He didn't have to die. The death He died for us, not Himself. But the life He lived that was sinless, He now gives to us because we place our faith in Him. That's the message of Christianity. I'm no better than anyone in the room, and nobody in the room is any better than me. We're sinners saved by grace. But what makes the Christian different is now we've been forgiven, and we know we have. We know that God is our Father, and we know we have His Spirit living within us. And we know if we'll listen to Him and read His Word and do what He says, we'll become more like Jesus, which means we'll impact and influence this world. And that should start at home. If I curse my wife during the week and mistreat her, I have no business up here on Sunday giving you information about how to live your life. We need to carry our namesake, being Christians like Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The way heaven manifests and the glory of God can manifest is through Christ in you. Not that old you, dead, buried. The new you, alive in Christ, raised with Christ, died with Christ, rose with Christ, ascended with Christ, now seated with Christ. That's the new you. You get your orders from heaven's headquarters. You are to be led by the Spirit of God in the spiritual realm around us. You have an access that lost people don't. You have a power that can be appropriated in your life through faith that they can't do that. They don't have the capacity to do that. So you need peace with God so that you can enjoy the peace of God and to be a peacemaker. I want you to stand with me, please. Our worship team is coming. Many of you may have read about the home of John and Susanna Wesley. 19 kids. That home was filled with loudness and the laughter and crying of children and so forth. But Susanna trained her children. She had this practical thing that she did, and when she was doing that, the kids all got quiet and gave her space. She would take her apron and throw it up over her head. They come into the room, and there's Mama with an apron over their head. They knew she was praying. But her testimony is that is the way she was able to live in a house of peace. It may look different for you, but day by day throughout the day, you need to come up with some practical ways. Like every night at 9 o'clock now, what are we doing? You know, Dutch had asked everybody to pray at 9 o'clock. We pray for our nation. I've specifically been praying for what's going on in Iran during that time. But set you a time. I encourage you when you get up in the morning, start your day with the Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you that you made this day. I'm choosing joy today. I'm gonna be led by your Spirit today. You set the thermostat for your day that way. Husbands and wives, pray together. Bible says you aren't getting along. Your prayers are being hindered. Well, what's worse than that? When you're not even praying, there's no prayers to be hindered. I mean, the Bible takes for granted that husbands and wives are going to be praying together. You need to do that. You need to pray at the table before your meal. Your children need to know what it looks like to see Daddy pray and Mama pray. Your children need to know the reason there's peace in your home is not because you've got that big, wide, thick veil, although there are times that can quieten things down. But it don't need to be because of intimidation. It needs to be because of humility and love for God and dying to self. May God help us to have houses of peace. Our prayer team members are coming. Our worship team is here. If you need someone to pray with you today, if the Holy Spirit's spoken to you in some way, sometimes we need to step out, come up and say, listen, this is speaking to me. I need someone to pray with me about this. You might be one of those people, like somebody stepping on your last nerve, and you just don't know if you can take it anymore. The Lord's a very present help in time of trouble. He'll help you today. Holy Spirit, have your way. And oh, dear friend, if you've never confessed Christ as Lord of your life, I encourage you to do that. Step out that aisle. Be courageous. Come forth and tell someone up here, I today want to confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. They'll talk with you. They'll pray with you. Today can be the day of salvation for you. You don't have to live in misery. You don't have to live an anxious, depressed life. There is hope, there is help, and there is healing. God's Holy Spirit is present here, and He is here to help. Worship team, would you lead us now? And if God's speaking to your heart out there, come on up right now and receive ministry.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty.
Humble yourself before the Lord. Acknowledge your need for help.
This world will satisfy. Because Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven.
Are there others? Quickly make your way forward. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. Would you come?
Your presence.
Help our homes, Lord. We will continue to pray here. May I remind you about small groups? We do want all of you to consider being part of a small group. Look in that directory. Look online. May I remind you, we'll be meeting back here Wednesday night at 6:30. I'm going to be teaching on God's dreams, how God sometimes will speak to us in our sleep. It'll be a very practical message, helpful, hopefully. But most of all, in consideration of what you've heard this morning, will you carry this home with you and be committed to having houses of peace? Hold up your hands. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the glory of His presence with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, the only wise one, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. In Jesus' name, go forth and be peacemakers. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand as they continue this ministry up here. Thank you for being here today. This altar remains open. God bless you.